Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I tell you, I was really encouraged, if you want to say it that way, Jelaine and I, you know, with the word that Pastor Bohr preached from Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And you know, God knows what a church needs at a certain time. And you know, he preached out of Revelation, talking about the Laodicean church and talking about the Philadelphia church. And he just said that the Lord had spoken to him and said, the door has been opened unto us. And I tell you, I just said, Lord, thank you. Because you see, you might say, well, what door? The spiritual door of revival. That God is moving. That God is moving. And you know what? You know, somebody came up to me Saturday night, and they were just talking. They said, you know, all day I just kept praying for the church. And you know, and she was just saying how excited she was. She said, I know God is moving in this area. And I said, I know He is. And so, you know, you just continue to pray saying, Lord, thank you. Because you see, God can open a door and God can close a door. And so when God opens it, that means it's wide open. It's wide open. So you see, but also we need to realize that the devil will try to stop what God is doing. Even though we know he can't, the devil will try to stop and do whatever he can to try to bring havoc and disturbance upon a church. But you see, we got to realize this, that our faith needs to be in him and him only. And let me tell you this, when our faith is in Christ and Christ alone, the devil knows he's been defeated. The devil knows he's been defeated because we're looking to Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And when we do that, all the powers of the enemy become of naught, of zero, of nothing unto us. And so we just keep our faith in him, looking to him, and knowing that God has everything under control. God bless you. That God is moving, and the power of his Spirit is working in our hearts and lives, changing us, and the power of his Spirit is moving upon the area that we live in. Praise God. Praise God. Which that is priceless. 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 God said he's looking for a people that will humble themselves before him. That's all it takes, to humble ourselves before him, saying, Lord, what can you do? You know, in us. And I know sometimes we think, Lord, can you really use us? You know, can you really use us? And yes, God is saying, I'm just looking for a man or for a woman. You know, in Scripture it says that God was looking for a man, and it could have been man or woman, whatever. God was looking for a man that he could send to Judah. And the Scripture says that he couldn't find any. Not that he wasn't looking, he was looking, but he could not find a willing vessel. Oh, there was men and women all over the place. And so that tells me that the Spirit of God was working on this one. And they would say no. And God, the Spirit of God would work on this person. And they would say no by their actions. Either they said it no by this, or they said it no by their feet because they didn't do what God said. And God tried. And it says the people of Judah would destroy it. Wow. Even though it was God trying to bring mercy and grace upon them, it didn't happen because of disobedience. And that's all of us. I mean, you know, we got to check our hearts and we got to make sure that we obey the Spirit of God because everything rests upon it. Upon it. Amen. Well, I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Who is this God whom you and I serve, whom we worship, who has promised to forgive us of our sins, thank God, and who has promised to go and make a place for us, which is heaven, who has promised to raise our physical bodies out of the grave? How would you describe a God like that? Many people do not understand who He is. In order to know our God, we must know His ways. In Psalms 103, look at verse 1. It says, a psalm of David. So David wrote this by the unction of the Holy Spirit. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness, and judge for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts upon the children of Israel. Can you go back to verse 1? Yes. So bless the Lord. Here David saying, look, bless the Lord, O my soul. What he was saying is, worship Him. Worship Him. That we should not forget who He is. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, the benefits of God, number one, is just salvation. The benefits of God is healing of our bodies. The benefits of God is healing our spirits. The benefit of God is supplying for us. The benefit of our God is giving us wisdom, righteousness, mercy, love, care for our lives. The benefits of our God. When we look to Him, we benefit. When we look to Him, we benefit. The promises of our God are yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. That as we read things in scriptures, as God speaks to our hearts and minds, the things that He wants and desires for us to do, whatever it says, but as we search the scriptures out and we find out the benefits of our God, that we know that His promises are yes unto us, that they are ours, that they are yours and mine, that as we seek the face of God, as we look to Him, they are yes, the promises unto us, and amen. So be it unto who? Unto His children. So be it unto who? His children that are serving Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Who healeth all thy disease and who redeemeth thy life from destruction. My God, the benefit of redeeming our life from destruction. The enemy, what comes in John 10 says what? To steal, to kill, and destroy us, people. But it says God has redeemed us, which is a benefit for us, from the life of destruction. Destruction of our physical bodies, destruction in our minds, destructions in our heart. Destruction. You know, when you think of destruction, you know what I think of? 9/11, the Twin Towers. That's destruction. That's destruction. That is what the enemy will try to do to his people, to God's people, to bring destruction of all kinds. If it's not torment in the mind, it's torment on the outside. Whatever he can do to bring destruction. But God says what? That He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He redeemed us. You know what that means? Redeem means Christ has brought us back. Bought us. Brought us back from a life of destruction. When we gave our hearts to Him, He brought us out of destruction into life. Redeemed us. Brought us out. That's the kind of God we serve. That we serve a God that is all powerful. All powerful, all powerful. That you don't serve a weakling God. You serve a God that is powerful, that can change every situation around, that the promises and the benefits that he has said is ours, we can have. We can have these things. The one reason the devil does not want us to read this thing is he knows when a Christian or a man of God or a woman of God gets a hold of this word and starts planting it in their hearts and starts planting it and believing what it says, that it brings destruction. Because you know why? It says that the word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit. It cuts the enemy apart. It destroys him. As we have faith in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, that it brings life to the Christian. It brings life to the man that believes the Word of God. It brings life to the woman that believes the Word of God. The devil doesn't mind us reading it. What he hates and what he doesn't want is us to believe it. He doesn't want us to believe this word. He doesn't mind reading it because he knows as a Christian you're going to desire the word. I had somebody say, and this is supposed to be a Christian, you read that? And I turned and said, he's not a Christian or she's not a Christian. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. What I wanted to do is just turn and... But you can't. The Word of God, people. The promises of our God. My God. To take this Word and plant it in us. Holy Spirit, to take that word and to covet it. To take that word and saying, Lord, you mean more to me than anything that I know of. And to take that word and plant it deep. Because you see, it's this word that will keep you from sin. You know, the Word of God says, do not steal. It says, do not steal. As Christians, we know we shouldn't steal. Whatever. Any work, whatever. When the devil contemplates in your mind, well, just take, nobody will notice. God has something on the inside that says no. And the word says different. Because you see, it says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. That means it will destroy its effectiveness. It will destroy the power and the presence of God. You might say, well, can we live a life totally without sin? Well, we can live a life totally without sin. Because all we do is have faith in Christ. That means we're not sinless people. No. Things happen. But we know we have a God who can forgive us and who can put us on the right track continuously. The promises of God. The acts of God are the things He does, and the ways of God include why He does them. He keeps His promises. Now, I really need to nail this into you that Christ keeps His promises. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit keeps His promises to us. The enemy will try to tell us other words or other things that God sometimes does, but not all the time. Well, God only does it if... Well, God maybe, but no, look. God in His Word keeps His promises unto us. Keeps His promises unto us. We got to believe His word and we got to stand upon it. It says this. There are two types of promises. Absolute promises, which is declarations or unconditional and will come to pass without any act on a human's part. So we have two different promises. Number one is an absolute promise. That, and the absolute promise is that it is unconditional and will come to pass without any act of a human part. I mean, we know whatever it is, it will happen, and we have nothing to do with it. But also there's another one, which is conditional, a conditional promise, which is or dependent upon our cooperating with Him. So we have absolute, that it will happen no matter what, and God doesn't need a human being in it at all. It's absolute. But there are conditional promises, which God promises it, but it depends upon humanity, or the person He calls, or what He tells them, and if they obey and do it. Two of them. So you see, we cannot blame God if something doesn't happen, because we know God will do it no matter what. It's absolute. And God will do it no matter what, conditional. But it really does not depend upon God, but depends on who? Humanity. 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 We got to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of God speaks from the inside, and we know it's God, that we do it, because we don't know what all hinges on those promises. We don't know what all hinges on the things that God has spoken to us to do, how it will affect the human race or the people that we're trying to reach for the kingdom of God. God keeps His promises. In Genesis chapter 2, I want to look at some things in the Old Testament. Because you know what? I want you to know these things, because the devil will try to tell you that God doesn't keep His promises. But you can say, next time you can say, devil, I know God keeps His promises because of the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 16 and 17. Talking about Adam and Eve. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave a promise and a command unto them. And He said, look, Adam and Eve, He gave them a clear warning that if they disobeyed Him, they would die. And we know the end result was that they disobeyed God. God promised, He said, look, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. And what happened? We know the enemy did this or that, but they subdued themselves and they ate of the fruit or whatever it was, and they disobeyed God. And the end result is disobedience brings judgment upon a people. And so they disobeyed God. And when God said, don't do it, because if you do, you'll die. Because man was supposed to live forever upon the earth, never to die. And I know I said this weeks ago, I think. Scientists really, people in the medical field, they look at our bodies and they have looked at things and said, medically, the way we are designed from the inside, they don't know why we die. They know we grow old, but they don't know why. Because we are made what they see to live forever, it seems like. But they have left one thing out they don't realize is because of the sin nature that's in us now that destroys from the inside out everything. And we grow old. Because you see, we were made in what? The image of God. And in the image of God, God never died. As far as a death, He's not dying. He's ever living. He's ever living. Even in the death of Jesus, the physical body, through His blood and through His death, He has brought life to us. Life to His people. Life to us. Here we see during Noah's flood, Noah and the flood. The world was so corrupt that God decided to wipe out everyone except Noah and his family. Genesis 6, verse 7 and 8. Genesis 6, verse 7 and 8. Look, God promised this. And the Lord God and the Lord said, I will, got to remember, destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I will destroy. His promise. He said, look, he will destroy the earth and all the people. In Abraham, look at Abraham. Look at Genesis first 12. Chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Abraham. It says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Praise God. Here we see God promised Abraham that he would bless him and make him a great nation. This was an absolute declaration of God. Can you imagine? And it was not dependent on Abraham's obedience. In fact, Abraham did disobey. But God promised to give Abraham a child through Sarah. And God kept his promise. The promises of God are what? Yes, and what? Amen. When God promises something, when God says something, and it concerns us, God always keeps his end of the bargain. But when it concerns him, he keeps it, and it depends upon us as humanity. But God kept his promise to Abraham and Sarah. And we know Abraham and Sarah messed up. We know that. We've all been in the boat. We've all messed up. Because she was getting great in age and he was getting great in age, they decided to take care of things on their own. And had another son. But God said, that's not the promised one, Abraham. And it says that when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. Well, a little bit before that, that the angel came and said, by this time next year, Abraham and Sarah, you will have a child. And it says that Sarah laughed in just a form of unbelief or disbelief. And yes, we probably all would have laughed like, my God, what? But we know it's through that lineage that God wanted to use, that the Messiah would come. And let me tell you this, within that year, because you see, God keeps his promises, people. The things that God has spoken to you, he will keep his end of the bargain. And what he promised you, he will do it. We don't have to say, well, Lord, I don't know if you'll do it. He will do it. We can rest assured with all the faith within us that he will do it. And she had a son. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. God blessed them. The promises of God, people. The promises of God. Moses. We see Moses, how God told Moses to be his spokesman, that God would deliver the people of Israel. And God did just that. God used Moses. We know these stories. How easily do we forget them? The faithfulness of our God when he promised that he would be with them. When he promised Moses, you will be my leader to take the children of Israel out. We know Moses made a mistake. He killed, a soldier. And he ran away for 40 years and all that stuff. And came back a man of God. And went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Or let God's people go. How do you think Moses must have felt? Knowing he disobeyed God at the beginning. and took things in his own hands. And it just fell apart. And God came back through a burning bush and said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. How many times have we messed up, people? And all, we might be driving in our cars, or we might be cleaning our homes, or we doing work or whatever. And on the inside, we're crying out to God. On the inside, no one else can see from the outside. But our hearts are breaking. And we're crying out to Him. We're not saying it outwardly, but we're saying it from our heart and in our minds. We're saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy. And can you imagine Moses saying, have mercy upon me, Lord. And when that burning bush, he saw it, and he went up to it, and it started to speak to him. The Spirit of God started to move at will. Look, that's the power of God. Let me tell you something. Look, when all hope is gone, God can bring back hope. And He can bring back an assurance on the inside of our lives towards Him. That He can set up that time where the Holy Spirit comes into that car as we're driving and we're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, Father. And the Spirit of God comes into that place and you just start bawling before God and asking God for His mercy and His grace. And God comes into that place and changes things around. That's the power of God. That's the presence of God. As Moses lifted up God moved in him. And he went, and God used Moses to deliver his people. Now, it wasn't easy at first, and things got harder. But they were delivered by the mighty hand of God. Joshua, a great man of God, God kept his promises to him that he would be with him and he would help them. And Joshua went, and God used this man to bring down cities, to bring down, if you want to say, kingdoms and cities in the promised land. And we know there were some failures, but that's okay. God will override those things, and He will show us what to do. But God used and kept His promises to Joshua, to Moses, to Adam, to Eve. To Abraham. God kept His promise. We should never forget the promises of God. That He will keep those things that He has spoken to our hearts and spoken to our lives. That He will keep it and He will do what needs to be done. It says it's God's willing to speak to any of us if we will listen to Him. If something is a crucial decision, God will speak to you as we listen to Him. He has wonderful things in store for us, and He's just waiting for you to say yes to Him. He's just waiting for us to say yes. The promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Yes from God, and so be it unto my people. From Him. Yes, and so be it. Jesus demonstrated that God keeps His word. Jesus predicted His death in Matthew. Peter rebuked Him, although Peter had been one to declare that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. The church is built on the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. And it says the gates of hell will not be able to withstand the attack of the church. The church grows the strongest under persecution and hardship. And Jesus also predicted His resurrection and promise to send the Holy Spirit. To send the Holy Spirit. The promises of God, people, are yes and amen. In Joel chapter 2, we're going to get to us now. Joel chapter 2. Says this. It says in the last days, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Could you put up Acts chapter 2, verse 17? It says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Now, are we living in the last days of the last days? If people can't see it, it's here. But God gave a promise to His people. It's found in the Old Testament in Joel, and it's found in the New Testament in Acts. It says, "In the last days, God said this, I," talking about God, "will pour out my Spirit." That means the Holy Spirit will be poured out. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will be like a trickle, a little nothing, a drop here and a drop there and a drop there. But it says that God said in the last days that He would what? Pour out His Spirit. That means He takes the glass or whatever you use, a vase or a glass or whatever, and He turns it upside down. And the water gushes out, that it overrides all things upon the earth. That God said in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit. And we are living in the last days. That is a promise from God that He will pour out His Spirit. When He pours out His Spirit, He pours it out upon His church. He pours it out upon His sons. He pours it out upon His daughters. He pours it out upon the children. He pours it out upon the men, the women, the elderly, everyone that seeks Him. That God says in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit. It is a promise from Him. The mighty power of God is being rest assured upon, is coming upon this earth like we've never seen before. That it will change people's lives and it will move upon people and will change things. That the church will not be an emancipated church, but it will be a church with power, with authority in it. That it will be a church that has God in it, and not man's agenda. It will be a church where God's agenda will be done no matter what. That God promises that He will pour out His Spirit. And we know God has already started, but it's going to be more than ever before. That He's coming for our brothers and our sisters. He's coming for our children. He's coming to do a work mightily upon the earth. That we can rest assured that what He promised, He will do it. What He promised, because He keeps His word. He kept His word in the Old Testament with all these Old Testament saints. That God will keep His word in the New Testament. And He will pour out His Spirit upon the church like never before. That we can rest assured we gotta have tenacity. We gotta pursue God. We gotta say, "Lord, I turn everything around. Lord, I'm giving You everything. I'm laying everything down. And Lord God, I want to give my life totally to the things of God, Lord. That You can look to me and you can have some kind of faith in me that I will do what You've called me to do." The church as a whole is very weak. Very weak. Very weak. Most Christians that name the name of Christ will turn on Christ at a dime. It's a shame. I'm saying, "Lord, help us to stand no matter what. Help us to stand no matter what." Help us to have such a fire on the inside of our hearts and inside of our lives that we never turn from you, Lord. That hell or high water comes, that we will look to him because the power of his Spirit is being poured out upon the church like never before. That we can look to him and we can rest assured that he's taken care of all things. And as the enemy may be rising up and trying to bring destruction, God is rising up and bringing life. And we know the life will always override the destruction. Because our God is the giver of life. And we can rest assured in him of his promises towards us. It says he promised to save us if we believe by faith. And we know that we've given our hearts to him and he came in and saved us. He promised us today that he will never leave us or forsake us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Do we truly believe that promise? Do we truly believe that he will never leave us nor forsake us? That he is in control, that he stands with us, and we have to just follow him wherever he goes and be right on the side of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we have to be right there with them, that he is our guide, he is our leader, that he says he will never leave us or forsake us. But you know what? This is the deal. We like to believe he will never leave us or forsake us, but we're doing this, going in our own direction. And I'm telling you, you need to listen to this. The Holy Spirit and the Father saying, what are you doing over there? Oh, we quote in the scripture, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And we're doing our own thing. We're at the wrong churches. We're doing our own thing. And God is way over here. And he's saying, Joe, come over here. I said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I promised by God. But God will not go chase us down. God is not our servant. God is not the one. He is our God. He is our leader. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But this is what he expects of Job. Because I like to use myself as an example. Not God is here. He's saying, Job, be right near me. And don't get away from me. And when the Father moves this way, Job better be right here. Because even if the Father's right here and he moves here and Joe stays there, Joe's in trouble. Because Joe cannot stand against the enemy and its powers. Only God has defeated him. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have defeated him. So we have to stand next to the one that has defeated the enemy. Because the enemy will destroy the Christian that doesn't follow God and is right not next to him. You might say, well, how do I do that? Well, look, you listen to him. You listen to the Spirit of the Lord. You listen to the Word of God and you follow wherever he's at in the spiritual realm. And you're saying, Lord, keep me close to you. And when we stay close to God, it doesn't matter what comes our way. God will protect. God will heal. God will help. That's why you have a lot of Christians, I'm telling you, that are blowing their brains out, committing suicide, that are living lives that are underneath what God wants them to live because they're not next to him. And I know there's more than just that. There's a few little other things. But we as a people, we as Christians have to stay close to God. Then he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many Christians know scripture and they try to read it out. And that's good. You need to read it. But you can't quote scripture in disobedience and think God will move your way. And there's no way. And I know most Christians say, well, God is merciful. Yes, he is. And God will help me to a certain extent. But you'll never have victory over things. And you'll never live in the potential that God has for you in that area. He promised, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. God promised that He will return to us and gather us up in the air to Himself. Now look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. You have that scripture? Yeah, thank you. It says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Some people believe that it's the Father that's going to blow the trumpet and the shout. Who knows? "With the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, blowing that trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." A promise from God. Has anybody ever told you where I thought the Lord was coming? Remember in 1988? 88 reasons why the Lord will come, you know, all that stuff. No one knows the day or the hour. No one. But He promised that He's coming for us. He promised He's coming. That's a promise we can hold on to. Saying, "Father, You coming for us. Either I'll meet Him from the grave or I'll meet Him not in the grave." Either one. Either one. To take us to live in the home Jesus has prepared in heaven. And this is the last thing, that we will reign with Him. Revelations 22, verse 3 to 5. Look at this. It says this, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever." Now stop right there. What servant reigns forever? God takes the lowly things of the earth and says they will reign forever. We will reign over things in heaven. You know that? We will judge things in heaven. You know that? You might say, "Well, moi? You know, or you, yeah, you." God sees more in you than what we see in ourselves. "The throne of God shall be in His servant and shall serve Him, and they shall see His face." Can you imagine? As we are in heaven, we see the face of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "And His name shall be in their foreheads." Look, I want that name. Two or three times. Be there. "I am for the King. For the King. For the King. And there shall be no night there, no candle, neither light of sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Ever and ever. Ever and ever, people. Jesus is coming. It's a promise He's given unto us. It's a promise He's given. We got to live lives, people. Live our lives like He's coming today. Make a mistake, call upon Him. Don't wait till that night. Don't wait. You know from an instant. You know when something's not right. Huh? We all know, because you know why? The Spirit of the Lord's in us and it grieves. That's a good thing, because it brings us to repentance. And so we call upon the Lord and He heals our bodies spiritually. Last statement, what God promises, He will do. What God promises, He will do. What God promises unto us, He will do. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? What God promises, He will do. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank you. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord God. We give you praise and we give you honor. Before we dismiss, as every head is bowed, every eye closed just for a minute, if you need prayer this morning for something in your life, would you raise your hand so we can pray with you? I want to make sure. I see your hand back there. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Father, Lord, you see the need, Lord God, that is needed in her life. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will meet all the needs, Lord God, and you will help that situation, Father. Lord God, I know she's given it unto you, Father. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would solve it. And Lord God, your promises will be given unto her, Father. Strengthen her, be with her, and help her, Lord God, this day. We give you praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. Thank God for you. And thank you for coming today. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful and coming. I know, you know, people get scared or whatever. But, you know, thank you for being faithful, that God will bless you and work in your heart and life. And I pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.